You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. If you're ready to visit public places in person again, well, the Idaho Historical Society has a new exhibit opening this Saturday, and it's celebrating the trailblazing women of Idaho. The exhibition illustrates the stories of more than 100 Idaho women, including 20 living trailblazers, who have influenced our state's past, its present, and its future through their courage, their creativity, their tenacity, as well as their values. Joining us now to talk about that are Liz Hobson, director of the Idaho State Museum, which is hosting the exhibition, and Sarah Phillips, museum curator of collections and exhibitions. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So Liz, let's start with you, because the timing of this opening now coincides with Women's History Month. However, we should kind of take a step back, because this was supposed to happen in August of last year to celebrate and remember the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. Pandemic threw a huge wrench in that. And we're obviously, of course, still dealing with the coronavirus. So why open now? And what steps is the museum taking to actually ensure that, you know, people are safe and they can feel good about coming into the museum?
Sure. Yeah. We definitely were really excited to align this exhibit with Idaho Women 100 last year, but out of safety, we did push that. And also, we really wanted to get a chance to work with all of the archives that we did, and a lot of them were closed for the pandemic. So we really had to pause on it. But we just wanted to give something that people could look forward to coming into all year as we all kind of start venturing out and feeling a little bit safer. However, we have always, since the day we've opened during COVID, we have taken a lot of precautions. So we do have limited attendance. We do ask that everybody wear a mask when they come. Some exhibits in our permanent galleries are still closed just for safety reasons. We are a very interactive museum, and we want to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe. So some exhibits still remain closed. And then we do a lot of sanitation during the day. So we have our staff going around using the Clorox wipes and all kinds of cleaning materials throughout the day, just to make sure that everywhere visitors are has been sanitized.
So Sarah, can you describe how this exhibit actually came together? And frankly, I think Liz alluded to this, but how long it's been in the works?
So we've actually been talking about this exhibit since the reopening of the museum back in 2018. I remember having conversations a couple years ago about how to go about including all of the amazing women that had been mentioned at one point or another. The decision to include the women that we have was actually made by a fairly large committee of women all around the state. So it wasn't only the museum and Historical Society staff, but we had people kind of consulting on new stories, new faces, new scholarship that we might be able to introduce. So we were able to kind of curate the exhibit from the standpoint of new stories that we wanted to tell. Visitors, when they come, are going to see, you know, a lot of faces that they might recognize right off the bat, like Polly Bemis, but we're excited to introduce new scholarship about Polly to our visitors, and also let people get to know some new stories of amazing, amazing women who maybe haven't gotten the credit and the notability that they deserve.
So Sarah, describe the threshold of trailblazer you were looking for. And what I mean by that is, how do you decide, you know, whose stories were in and, you know, maybe who you had to cut?
A lot of it came down to what is going to make the visitor experience feel special and unique. Mm. And what are the stories that we can tell in the most complete way in a large exhibit like this? My main background is museum collections. And so being able to illustrate these lives in a really kind of tangible way with materials, you know, artifacts and loaned objects, that was really important to me as we developed this exhibit. So when we had the case of, you know, do we include one person or the other, sometimes the tiebreaker was, do we have an artifact that can bring this person to life? you know? And mm-hmm. we were extraordinarily fortunate to develop relationships with people around the country. And we had new donations. A lot of artifacts were loaned to us by some of the living trailblazers. One of the examples that I love is Kristen Armstrong loaning us her Olympic bicycle and three of her gold medals. That's, you know, an honor to be able to exhibit things like that and take items on loan from people who are just excited to share their family's stories.
Yeah. So Liz, you came on the program 18 months ago. It seems like a lifetime ago.
It does.
To talk about, and doesn't it though? To talk
yes.
about. It's finally happening. It's finally here. But you were here to talk about the exhibit, but also to ask the public to submit artifacts. And as Sarah just talked about, you've gotten some pretty amazing artifacts. But I'm kind of curious about, you know, when you did that public call out, how many items did you receive? And did a lot of them make them into the final exhibit? I mean, Sarah mentioned Kristen Armstrong.
Yeah. And a lot of that call puts out a call to start that relationship, to kind of talk about what items in the family that might fit that story. And a lot of it just goes to a lot of our curatorial staff, that they spend a lot of time with folks that might have reached out with items. And so I'll let Sarah talk a little bit more, because our curatorial staff has just really gotten to know so many of these folks through what they have to loan and to donate.
Yeah, I can't even say, you know, how many phone calls and emails and conversations we ended up having with people who were just excited to be able to offer things to us. So whether it's part of our permanent collection now as an active donation, or if things have been loaned to us for the duration of the exhibit, we've had the ability to showcase items that have never been seen by the general public. And one of the donations that did make it into our exhibit was made by the family of Gracie Post. Her family has held on to things from her time in elected office, like briefcases, newspapers. You know, she even had you know, recipes that she kept that were kind of her signature when she was working. And so to be able to showcase those things and bring her story to life in a way that we couldn't before that, because we didn't have artifacts to really highlight any of those experiences, has mm-hmm. been just fantastic for us. And then also, you know, really developing the relationships with people who maybe aren't quite ready to part with their family heirlooms yet, but to know that we're trusted to interpret those objects and to be keepers of them for this exhibit is a really special opportunity for us. And to let the public see things that have never before been exhibited before is an absolute privilege for us.
So before I let both of you go, I would love it if each of you could give an example of a woman in this exhibit that maybe you didn't know much about before, but maybe really touched you and hit home for you. And Liz, I'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm absolutely amazed by every woman that is featured in this exhibit. It's every panel I read and every artifact I look at, just I'm just in awe of how many wonderful, amazing women there are in this state. I'll focus on one of my favorite contemporary trailblazers, because I think that's just so amazing that we have an exhibit that features women who are around us now and who are telling their stories currently and that we're able to share it. She's also our youngest trailblazer. She's 26 years old. Her name is Gabby Lemieux, and she is a member of the Shoshone Paiute tribe. She was raised in Caldwell, and she's a professional golfer. She's actually the only Native American woman professional golfer in the United States.
Wow.
And she's an ambassador for Nike, which is just amazing. It's a story that we became familiar with through this project, and we've worked with her and talked with her, and she's loaned us several of her items, which is just really fantastic. So that's one of my favorite contemporary stories.
I love it. And Sarah, what about you?
So my favorite story, I kind of stumbled across this woman as I was doing research for the exhibit. Her name is Mildred Bailey, and she was born in 1900, a member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe. And it turns out that she was actually integral in jazz music in the 1920s. So she really helped establish what jazz music sounded like for some of the major names that we hear about now. So Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Billie Holiday, Tony Bennett, all of these just massive stars in the jazz world all attribute their sound to being influenced by Mildred Bailey. And looking at her story, a lot of her sound was developed through music that she heard as a child on the Coeur d'Alene reservation. So her her story is really one that deserves to be told. It shaped jazz music, you know, that real true American sound that we all know of, and was really influential in that cultural movement at the time. She's one of the women that we were fortunate enough to get items loaned by her family. So her niece, Julia Rinker, was incredibly generous in loaning us some of her jewelry. There's a watch that we've got a photo of Mildred wearing, a couple of figurines, you know, really to highlight her family's legacy and how important Mildred was to the American experience in the 20s.
Well, I have to say, it may be 101 years after the women's suffrage movement, but it is more than time to celebrate these women. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Liz Hobson, administrator of the Idaho State Museum, and Sarah Phillips, museum curator of collections and exhibitions. The new exhibit, Trailblazing Women of Idaho, opens in person this Saturday. It runs through November. Remember, you do have to get a ticket in advance because of COVID protocols. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More Idaho Matters next.